It appears that the middle section between the first and second activity did not get recorded. My apologies.
All right, welcome to class today. Glad to see you all here. Before we begin, any comments, questions, concerns, or other things for me? Yes?
On the homework, I don't know if this is kind of addressed or something, but there's like two Richmonds, two Bedfords, two Roanokes.
Yes.
I don't know if it's something we're writing in our code to pass it up.
No, there should be multiple of these. So it turns out in general, a county doesn't have to be contiguous. It can have different pieces. And so if there are different pieces, then they'll show up multiple times in the region CSV file. They'll still only be once in the votes CSV file, but they'll be multiple times in the regions.
Right, but it's multiple. They have the same areas, but they have different votes. And the monitors have like two places that are...
So the votes have duplicates?
So
the votes shouldn't have duplicates. If they do, that's a problem with the input file. How you handle it doesn't matter. Okay? So you can treat it as one, you can treat it as two, you can use the first one, the second one, it won't matter.
Okay, so even if our math isn't, like...
Correct. We won't test those cases.
Okay.
Yeah, the input file shouldn't have had the same municipality more than once. Yes?
Is there a difference in the more recent versus the data from further back?
So old data, sometimes counties didn't exist. So not every county will be represented in old data because sometimes those counties are new. Are there other problems you're having with them?
Just that we ran older data and got null pointer exceptions for the U.S. but ran...
Correct. So your code should work for old data as well as new. In old data, some counties won't appear in the votes at all. And the specification says if it's not there, you're supposed to ignore it. Instead, your code might throw a null pointer exception. It shouldn't. So you should be able to handle cases where it isn't in the data. And that will be the case for the older vote data in the example files we give you. Yes?
I'm having an issue with a specific county, Richmond County versus Richmond City. There's like only one line of data entry.
Yeah, so we just mentioned this, okay? So the data is supposed... If there's a problem with the data, it's a problem with the data. So just don't worry about it. Yep. In general, right, bad data is part of life, and you have to deal with it. For this assignment, as long as it doesn't blow up, as long as it does something sensible, we'll say it's good enough. Yes?
The startup region, integer that's given to you, it'll always be...
Start of region only needs to work if the integer provided is the index of a three-element row. Other questions, comments, concerns at this point? Okay. One announcement to make. Next class period on Wednesday. You should bring in some weird little knick-knack for a show-and-tell type of activity, okay? So bring in something. I don't care what it is, except it should be appropriate for mixed company. And you should be able to carry it. Bring in something. The stranger and more interesting it is, the more interesting class will go. So bring in something with you when you come to class on Wednesday. We're going to start off today with a little exercise. So I have here a UML class diagram for three classes. Fraction, fraction point, and circle. Okay? I have not listed all of their methods. That's okay. We won't need all of the methods for what we're going to use this for. What I want you to do, consider this little piece of code here. Circle C equals new circle example. Okay? And what I want you to do is draw a picture of what memory would look like. So, as a reminder, last class period, we drew this picture of what memory would look like, right? We had some memory for an activation record, we had some memory for an object. I want you to draw that kind of picture for this data, assuming we have just run the code circle C equals new circle. I would like you to do this in twos or threes, although if you like working by yourself, you can. I am going to ask for the picture you give me. So if you don't have a picture, you can give paper you can hand in. I have paper here. I have a handful of pencils, not as many as there are people in the room. So if you have the ability to write that yourself, do. If Find someone you work with. We'll just spend a few minutes on this, and then we'll talk about what we got. Stop what you are doing! All right, make sure you put your IDs on your page. We're again going to swap with somebody else, but then I'm going to ask you some questions about how theirs compares with yours. So make sure your IDs are on it, swap with another team. I'm now going to ask you some questions. So, you're holding a piece of paper right now, which is not the one you wrote. So, does the piece of paper in your hand have exactly the same fields as the one you passed away just a moment ago? The two pieces of paper had exactly the same fields. Anyone? No one! Oh boy. Alright, so nobody has the same set of fields. How about this? The piece of paper I gave away, the piece of paper I'm holding down, they have the same number of fields. They count. Right? I had three, they have three. I had five, they had five. Three groups. Okay. Alright, so there's a lot of ways to do this. I'm just going to start doing this here. Let's see, what's the first thing that I need to have in an UML class diagram? I'm going to draw one in text because I have text sitting in front of me. Okay? The top box, what do I put in it? I'm going to put the name of the class, which I carefully wrote out here in class-like syntax. Okay? Great, so that's what goes in the top box. That's all that goes in the top box. Hopefully there's nobody confused by that. Next box is the fields. So, let's just see how many fields we can list. Who has a field? I had a field. Yes?
The three coordinates for each of the 2 points.
What did you call them?
AX, AY, AZ, BX, BY, BZ.
Okay, so you had AX, AY, AZ, BX, BY, and BZ. And what type of things were these?
They were all doubles.
Okay. So here's one model. A GPS coordinate has 2 x's, 2 y's, and 2 z's. I like this model. Nope, not so much. Doesn't do it for me. Oh, the majority is opposed to this model. Let's see a different model. Somebody else, what fields did you have? Or do you have in the paper in front of you right now? Either one. Okay, I know you all wrote paper. I know you'll have one. So somebody... You have some fields. I can call somebody at random. Yes, what do you got?
X1, X2, Y2.
Okay, so we have essentially the same thing, just different names. And no Z's. Right, this is the same idea, 2 x's, 2 y's. Okay, so there's different ways we can name things. I will leave the first set of names. Now, you notice there's no Z's here. Should we have Z's? We'll come back to that. And we have a different way of storing, a fundamentally different idea of what you could put in a GPS coordinate. Yes, the back.
Point 1, point 2,
okay. And what type of things are these? Okay, so we'll say there's some other class called point. Same idea, but we're sort of modularizing it. Instead of storing all the doubles directly on our GPS coordinate, we're storing some of them elsewhere. Anybody have something else? Yes? You have an array of points. What do you call it? Okay, so we have an array list of points, something like that. Okay. I wouldn't have done any of these. These are more complicated than I would have done. Hey, if I went to compare one GPS coordinate from another GPS coordinate, how many things can be different? What are those three? X, Y, Z, latitude, longitude, and altitude. That's it. A point does not have 2 latitudes. It does not have 2 longitudes. It does not have 2 altitudes. It's got at most one of each. So what I would have done is just latitude, longitude, and altitude, all of which I would have made doubles. Okay? One copy. It's tempting when you're designing a class to try to design a whole collection of classes all at once. Remember, if I want two GPS coordinates, I make two GPS coordinate objects. One GPS coordinate only has to represent one GPS coordinate. It does not need to represent a pair, even if I want to do things with a pair of them later. Okay? So when I'm designing my point, I'm designing one point, one coordinate. Latitude, longitude, and altitude. I should, I suppose, write these all down as separate lines, and I should write them out in full, but I'm not going to. Okay? I understand why I do not need a second set of XYZs. Nope, that doesn't make any sense to me. Okay, most of us get it, great. So, right, one GPS coordinate is one point. If I want two of them, I'll make two GPS coordinate objects. Is there anything else I should know about a GPS coordinate? Nope. Yes?
How far is it from sea level?
How far it is from sea level? Good question. Good point. What does altitude mean? How far it is from sea level? Okay, so when we write our methods, we'll use that. But when we're talking GPS, the altitude they give you is how far it is from sea level. They'll even tell you how far sea level is from sea level, which is kind of strange and varies over time with tides. But that's how GPS is defined. Okay? So I don't actually need a separate thing. How many of you have a field somewhere in your diagram that says something like sea level? Yes, many of us do. Okay. It might make sense to make a sea level... a static final double. Okay? If GPS was designed to be the center of the Earth instead of sea level, it makes sense to know where is sea level. But sea level would not be something that varies from one coordinate to another in general. Usually we mean sea level, we mean the average level of all oceans across the planet. It's not something that varies from one point to another. I can't have two points the same latitude, longitude, altitude, and different sea levels. Okay? So it makes sense to make it a static final double. Remember we talked about constant static final double earlier on. What do these pieces mean? Final. Nobody's allowed to change it. The sea level of the Earth is fixed. Plus or minus global warming. Okay. Static. There is just one shared by all GPS coordinates. It's not the case that every GPS coordinate has their own. There is one shared by everybody. So if all of the GPS coordinates in existence have one sea level, you make it a static attribute. Okay? If we really wanted to model changing sea levels, we wouldn't make it final, but we would still make it static because it's shared by all of the GPS coordinates that exist. We can make this without that, but we could also use that if we want. Any other comments or questions about the fields here? Okay. Oh. Yeah, okay, so we now need some methods. All right, so what's there some methods we could have? I have a method on my paper. Yes, what do you got?
Distance.
Okay, what does distance take as parameters?
Latitude and longitude.
Okay, lat and long, which are both doubles?
Yeah.
Okay, so it actually takes two doubles. Commonly, when we're writing UML class diagrams, we don't name our parameters. Just tradition, not super important. And what's the return value of this going to be? What type of thing will it get back?
Double.
A double. So I can tell the distance between this GPS coordinate and some latitude-longitude pair. Okay? Yes?
So how can you, if you're only inputting two doubles, then how can you compute the distance between two points? Because two doubles can only give one point, right?
Ah, good question. Can I make this work? Two doubles is one point. Where is the other point for the distance? Anybody? There is another point available for the distance. And it is called? This. Okay? I'm writing a method inside the GPS coordinate class. So all of these methods are going to have access to this. And what will this be able to tell me? The latitude, longitude, altitude, and sea level of a point. So all I need to give the distance function is another point. I've got one, it's called this. I need another one to compute the distance between them. Okay? So on that point, I could, if I wanted to, make distance take a GPS coordinate and return a double. Also okay. Instead of giving me a separate latitude longitude, you can give me a second point. Now I've got this and the parameter. Together, I've got a distance. Yes?
I don't understand how, like, intermediate, or if you're calling this, then are you also...
For the first distance or the second distance? Which one do you want me to talk about? The first one. So what would the code look like? Let's briefly talk about what the code would look like for that first distance function. Okay? I'm actually going to write some code here. So it's going to be a public double distance that takes two doubles. I better give them some names. I'll call this lat and this lon. Okay? Oops, that should be a curly brace, not a P. And what's the distance going to be? It's going to be the difference in latitude, which is going to be the difference between this is latitude and that's latitude. The difference in longitudes is that this is longitude minus that's the passed in longitude. And then I'm going to return the square root of d lat times d lat plus d lon times d lon. This is what the code would look like for the method itself. Okay? So one of them is coming from this, one of them is coming from the parameters. That gives me 2 points. This is the distance formula. If you forgot the distance formula, I don't really care if you know the distance formula or not. This is what it looks like. So that's what that method would look like. How about main? What will main look like? In order to use this, I need to have at least one GPS coordinate. Point, which is going to be equal new GPS coordinate, created however they're created. We haven't defined how they're created yet. And then the distance would be the point's distance to some latitude, longitude. Latitude, where are we at? We're about 38.5, right? To negative 70.4 or something like that. It's approximately Virginia. So what does this mean? To use it, I have to create a GPS coordinate object. That's why I'm defining it. So I can create them. So I can use them. So I create one. And once I've got one, I could use it to invoke the distance method. Because there will be a distance method written. The distance method, as written, requires a latitude and longitude passed in. And it will tell me the distance between the point PT and that latitude and longitude, whatever I passed in. Now, this is actually not the right way to do distance for latitude and longitude, because it goes straight through the center of the Earth. But anyway, not important for this point. Yes?
So what is this lat?
What is this dot lat? What is this dot lat? Okay. So, if we think about these pictures here. In our main method, I have, in this example, we had H, over here we have PT, but we have some variable pointing to an object we have created. In the method distance, that object created is called this. This always talks about the object on which the method was invoked. So this in distance, we'll talk about what we called PT in main. This always exists. This is the object that was on the left side of the period during invocation. So when I invoke distance, this exists. It is talking about a point. The point it is talking about is the new one I created in main. And then this dot lat will get the latitude field out of this, or the longitude field out of this for this dot lon. You still look a bit confused.
Numerically?
I don't know. Should we actually create a reasonable GPS coordinate? Let's say that we are creating, how about Egypt? Egypt is about, what, 12.3 and, I should know this, it's like 15.7 or something like that. I think that's southern Egypt. Anyway, all right, so we can make a GPS coordinate. Now I have a coordinate for Egypt, I have a coordinate for Virginia. And so inside distances invocation, this dot lat will be 12.3, this dot lon will be 15.7. Lat will be 38.5, lon will be negative 70.4. And this will give me this weird distance, which is not the right distance for a sphere, but it'll give me some kind of distance. You still look a bit confused. Yes, whatever I put into PT is what gets into this. I'd have to make a new object. So I can make as many GPS coordinates as I want, right? I can make PT, I can also make PT2, which is a different part of the world. Perhaps let's make it the South Pole. Okay, so now I've got two points. One is Egypt, one is the South Pole. And I can invoke the method on either one. Right, so I can get the distance between Egypt and Virginia. I can get the distance between the South Pole and Virginia. Okay. I can get the distance between Egypt and the South Pole by taking distance between PT and PT2. Yes?
So, you're assuming you have a constructor there. Do you not need to put that in?
Yeah, so I didn't describe the constructor. I ought to describe a constructor. You should always describe a constructor. I'm assuming there is a GPS coordinate constructor that takes two doubles. Just assuming it exists. But for the correct diagram, I should put it there. Other questions about this so far? Okay, so the other thing we're supposed to be able to do is find out which one is farther from sea level. Okay, so to find out which of two points is farther from sea level, I would need to have something like from sea level, or farther up perhaps, okay, which is going to return a Boolean. Okay. And it would do some comparison between this is altitude versus sea level, that's altitude versus sea level, see which one is farther away. Okay, so that ends this. When we come back on Wednesday, as a reminder, please bring in some little object from home. We will run through some of these experiences with those, and we will see you on Wednesday.